And the same situation happens with us when we see ourselves, we're trying to do some service to the deen. All of a sudden someone else comes and he does a better work than we can do. And right away we try to pull our group away. No, no, not this person. This is why the scholars of Islam have mentioned one of the signs of sincerity in the work of deen is when you see a person who can do the work better than you, you hand over that position to that person and you work under the person. But easy said than done. It's not that easy to do. That a person would just establishing the work, he's working, and then all of a sudden he hands over everything to another person and he works under that person. Beautiful example of it is Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu anhu. When Umar radiyallahu anhu took him out of the position of being commander-in-chief of all the Muslim armies and assigned Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu anhu over him. This is not the time to go into the details. I just wanted to remind you as a point, and you can go back and inshallah study the whole story of Khalid ibn Walid radiyallahu anhu. Anyway, Abu Amir al-Rahib, because of his jealousy and hatred, he could not even be in Medina. He could not take all the things that were happening in Medina Munawwara, and he left Medina and went to Makkah. When the Kuffar of Quraysh were coming for the Battle of Uhud, he said to them, because I was the leader of my clan for a long time, they have a lot of respect for me, I'm going to join you. And I promise you that I will be able to pull out all the people of Aws from away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will come and join us. So now, before the war would start, Abu Amir comes out and he announces that I'm Abu Amir, I'm the Rahib, I'm the person this that you know me. Come out, all people Aws, come and join me here. And to his surprise, he hears someone saying, لا أنعم الله بك عينا. You may never be welcomed. Who brought you over here? Why did you come back? And he was so upset. He didn't believe himself. He goes back to Abu Sufyan and says to him, these people have changed and Muhammad have done something to these people. They have totally changed after I left. Anyway, now a person came out who was holding the flag of Quraysh. On the side of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, the person who was holding the flag was Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiyallahu anhu. Well-known Sahabi. One of the young Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in who sacrificed everything for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person, a Sahabi, who was known for his lifestyle, the way he used to live in Makkah Mukarramah. People knew him for his dress. People knew him for his perfumes that he uses. And nothing different than what we see nowadays around us. You know, people are used to certain lifestyle. And especially the children from wealthy families. They are used to certain lifestyle. They must hold certain type of cell phones. These phones that me and you would use. This is an insult for that person to be using that phone. And they have to wear clothes from certain companies without naming any. But we know that these are the lifestyles. I'm not going to wear these shoes, regardless of how much they're worth. But he's going to wear some of those brand names so that when he goes to school, everyone can see that, yeah, this is what you are. And not only with children, it grows with us. And I'm sure many of us can understand what we are talking about. That these things, they grow with us. And as we grow, then we want similar type of thing. Am I going to drive this car? No way. I'm not going to school today. I better rent a car. But I'm not going with this car. So we get used to that lifestyle. Here, Mus'ab ibn Umayr. He is the leading star, as we may call it nowadays, that he's the star for most of those people and everyone follows him as a young man. People look up to him and they just follow his lifestyle. not to go too far from our topic, but we see the stars nowadays. They are as naked today as they were the day they were born. They just put few clothes up. And now people are trying to follow these stars and learning how to tear your clothes up. And these are the people, if you look at the lifestyles, every evil is there. Every evil is there in that life. The only reason some people are taking them as big stars, because through that evil they are able to make a lot of money. By using these evils they can make a lot of money. And therefore, everyone hopes that I can just do the same evils and make money instead of having to work. Why do I have to work for it? I could be jumping, I could be just doing all of these things here and there, enjoying my life, and everyone will be looking up to me, and I'll be making the chunk of money better than anyone else that is out there in the field. So why not use that? So Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu is living that type of lifestyle in Makkah Mukarramah, and all of a sudden, someone approaches him and reminds him, look, what are you doing with your life? Is this what you're created for? Is this what you're living, that you have been sent in this world for? Don't you see that the Messenger of Allah, and don't you go and look at his teachings? See what he teaches you. And Mus'ab bin Umayr, he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a few questions. Remember, people who live certain lifestyle, many times, they live that type of lifestyle because they have certain type of understanding. These are the people who worked, who through using by their minds, they were able to achieve these high status. Regardless of what abilities they have, they used those abilities and got to those status. Same way, because now they have that ability in their mind, in their brain of understanding. So now when this person comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after asking few questions, he realizes that this is true. It makes sense. I can see what he's saying. And now to this person, you know, just like you see a lot of people, they do things that we would be ashamed, even if you want to do it, we'll be ashamed to do it. A person is walking out on the street, he's jumping and he's dancing and he's singing loudly, and then he occasionally you'll see him, he jumps over the fence and then he jumps over the cars and here and there. Amazing things that he's doing. He doesn't care of what anyone would think of him. Imagine when the same person, when the same ability would use, when this person becomes a believer, and he takes the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into his life. Now he will be out there, he won't care if he has to pray on the street. He never cared before for doing those things, and he doesn't care even now. It's an ability. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, أَنَّاسُ مَعَادٍ كَمَعَادٍ الذَّهْبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ. People carry minds within them. These are abilities. Umar radiallahu anhu leaves his home to go and kill the Prophet of Allah. All of a sudden he becomes Muslim. And finally, one of the most successful, not to say king, but Khalifa. And of course that's our terminology. But if you compare with all the rulers of the world, you won't find, after Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, you won't find a successful ruler similar, anything close to what Umar radiallahu anhu was. With that lifestyle, with how he is living, with how much of the country's assets he's using for that success. If you start comparing Umar radiallahu anhu's life and what he did for establishing that Khilafah, you would see that he used some very easy means. In a very inexpensive way, he was able to establish all of that Islamic world, peaceful world for Muslims and non-Muslims at the same time. Something that was an example for even non-Muslims and non-Muslims. They used to rather come and live in the Islamic State during the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. People used to leave their countries and they come over here to live only because they love this system, this lifestyle and this system. And they love how Umar radiallahu anhu and his governors are taking care of people and how people are living so peacefully in that land. Anyway, Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu was the person who was carrying the flag for the Muslims, and Abu on the side of the Kuffar, the person who was carrying the flag, his name was Talha bin Abi Talha. Talha bin Abi Talha, after Abu Amir went back, and by the way, Abu Amir is the father of a well-known Sahabi, whose name was Hanzalah radiallahu anhu. Hanzalah, inshallah, we'll talk about him later on. He's known as Ghaseelul Malaika, the person whose body was washed by the Malaika. Abu Amir was the father of Hanzalah radiallahu anhu. When Abu Amir went back, Hanzalah radiallahu anhu approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, how about I go and take care of him?" About his own father. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No, I'm not going to allow a son to be confronting his own father. You stay away from him." This is the beauty of the deen. This is what you see, the rahmah in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something that up to this day, when people are having such big claims, but they cannot hold to even these things that are already established in this deen 1400 years ago. Talha bin Abu Talha comes out holding the flag of the Quraysh, and he challenges the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. Ali radiallahu anhu went out, and in no time he took care of Talha bin Abi Talha, and that person was killed. His brother came out, Uthman bin Abi Talha, and Hamza radiallahu anhu went out. And I'm sure just by knowing the name Hamza, we all know what would be the result. He was out in no time. His another brother came out, Abu Sa'id bin Abi Talha. And Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu threw an arrow at him. He was out. Then the first person who came out, Talha bin Abi Talha, his son came out, Haris bin Talha. And a Sahabi with the name Asim radiallahu anhu, Asim bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, went out and he took care of him. Another brother of his came out, and Asim radiallahu anhu took care of him. And a third brother came out, and another Sahabi took care of him. Now, by this time, the kuffar is shaking. Each person that comes out, it's gone in no time. And of course, when they send people at that time, they're sending the strong people. And they used to have a terminology in those days which meant a person that is equivalent to 100. And these are the type of people they're sending out. But each person comes out, and in no time, he is gone. Some of the people are coming out with two shields covering their whole body. He comes out, and those shields are not helping them. These swords, sharp swords, are not helping them. Nothing is working here. Then another person carried the flag of Quraysh, who was known for his strength, and his name was Arqad bin Shurahbil. When he came out, again Ali radiallahu anhu went out and he took care of him. Another person took the flag, Shuraih bin Qarit. He came out and he was done. The kuffar thought, it's not safe for us now to have this war continue like this, one to one. Let's all of us just attack them at once. Because not a single person of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in was killed by now. And they had lost almost 9-10 people, one after another. Of course, this thing was a big help for Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. The number is small, but by now, the kuffar are shaking their hearts. At least they see the fear now. They see that there is something very special on that side. And they already know, they already heard these stories from the Battle of Badr, how the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in got the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they believe in that. They believe that the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. But, of course, after all, they are holding to a belief. They want to defend it. And they want to support each other. They want to show their bravery. This is something that they live for. So this is what they are all out here for. After this, as soon as the war started, and all this kuffar, all of a sudden they attacked, Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een started going back and fighting back. Within no time, they were seen running away. There were a few Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een that really worked very hard on that day, like Hamza radiallahu anhu. And of course, Hamza radiallahu anhu was a name that was known throughout Arabia. His name was known throughout Arabia. And although the Kuffar had some of those people, for some reason, those people who were from the side of Kuffar that were competitive to Hamza, like Khalid ibn Walid, like Amr Ikrimah ibn Abu Jahl, for some reason, these people were just staying behind. And they're sending the other people up front. This is because they had, in the back of their mind, they knew that these people are getting the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is always, this is what happens, that people who are trying to confirm the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they understand that there is help of Allah with this deen, they always try to stay back and they send other people up front. And this is what you see in the battle of Uhud. Hamza radiallahu anhu, was, as he was fighting, he got to the back of the army of the Quraysh. And you know, it's not safe for a person to leave his position and get all the way behind there, because now they can trap him there. But his position was such that wherever he would go, people would just move out of his way. And as he got back there, finally, he came to confront a person whose name was Siba' ibn Abd al-Uzza. Understand the name, Siba'. Sabu' in Arabic language means a beast. Siba' is plural of that. Which means this person is known for his bravery. He is just like so many beasts attacking one person. That's why he's known as Siba'. Hamza radiallahu anhu took care of that person also. But as he was coming back, a person was hiding behind one of the rocks there. Wahshi, who was promised who was a slave. He never came to fight. His purpose of coming was because his master, Jubair ibn Mut'im,